readings this morning, we are surprised by life and sustained by prayer. How many different ways can you say hello? You know, there's like, hello, how you doing today? And then there's, friends of ours have this almost eerie way of going, hello. Like, they're expecting you to really be terribly excited about seeing them, which I am. Or you can go with, hello. I don't know what that one means. And then there's the one when you discover something that is just really very obvious, and it's like, hello, of course. Hello, I get it. And that's the hello that I'm talking about this morning for a few minutes. We often think of the story of the mustard seed saying it is all about a mighty thing that grows out of a very small beginning. And that's fine as far as it goes. But if we are honest, in most of these stories, most of these parables, Jesus adds a new dimension in the series of stories about the kingdom of God. His point is slightly different than our familiar interpretation. Jesus makes a point about the joy of discovering the treasure. Surprised by joy and sustained by the Spirit of the living God, which intercedes for us even in times when we are not able to offer our voice in prayer. Guys out sowing seed, little mundane seeds, and surprise, a huge plant grows up, humongous. Hello. Or the women kneading bread and the yeast fills the whole batch with leaven. Hello. Surprising power to transform this kingdom of God. Another guy's plowing his field, dull chores, not too exciting, but he's surprised when he discovers a great treasure in the middle of the field. Hello. Or the fine pearl, or the catch of fish. Choices have consequences. Hello. We need to know that too. Jesus is sorting out the old and the new as he begins to explain what he is all about, what to keep and what to let go of. In the traditions of the Jewish elders of the conventional wisdom of the culture of the day, the real rabbis know just where to find everything that you might need. I like the translation, Eugene Peterson's Message in this passage. He writes, "Then you see how every student, well-trained in God's kingdom, is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on almost anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it. However, when it comes to the kingdom with the reign of Christ, it's not always so obvious. Can you see the old lady with the bandage, with the banded, it's a figure ground picture. You might have seen it, called a gestalt sometimes. It's a picture which, if you look at a particular part of it, you see an old lady with a jagged nose and pointed chin. But if you look at another part of the picture, you see a beautiful young lady with a huge fancy hat. Those figure ground things are really interesting, and the picture's the same, but it changes depending on where you're looking. And that's a good way to describe what this parable thing is all about. I'm amazed when Jesus asks, do you understand everything I've just said? And the response is, yes. No, it's not that obvious. In the reign of Christ, the phenomenon of that figure ground changing depending on where you're looking at your life is an apt framework. Where is your focus? If your focus is on me, or if your focus is on humanity, the picture looks different sometimes. Is the focus on economics or on justice? Is it on security or human rights? Is the focus on the past or on the future? That figure ground gestalt is at work when we talk about the kingdom of God and the way it applies to our lives. Even when Paul's writing to the Christians in Rome, he says, by the way, when you are so down and so out and so depressed and so beaten up by the world, you can't even offer your own prayer. Know that the Spirit of God intercedes for you according to your need. But it has two qualifications, that that intercession. First, for those who love God and those who are committed to God's purpose. It is a specific understanding of how that focus needs to come into our lives. In the figured ground of your life, you will be surprised oftentimes by joy when God breaks in. Maybe you've had that experience. Rabbi Jesus is all about how to see the world in a new way. And that's perhaps why he was not so popular with some of the religious leaders back in Jerusalem. Perception becomes reality in his world. Could God be shaping this world through you and me? Are you a little seed that somebody's life is needing? You may not realize when you make a big difference by a little thing that you do. Or are you an agent in the church or in the community, like leaven, able to infuse the whole batch with a new understanding, a new idea, perhaps a different attitude? You have that capacity. We have that capacity, Jesus says. I know the story is about pearls and about finding a treasure in the middle of a field and so on, but I think of the farmer in the province of Lingtan, China, who, while drilling for a well looking for some water on his farm, stumbled onto the treasure trove of the Terracotta Warriors, a place that has been developed, excavated, covered over, and people come from all over the world to see the attraction that's been developed there. It is a massive display of culture and history, indeed claims to be the funeral memorial of the first dynasty in Xi'an, China. Well, what we are to be looking for, signs of the holy inbreaking of God in our lives, not about ancient emperors, but about those scattered images where we begin to be reminded of the goodness and the power and the creativity of the Spirit of God. If we simply stay with the story this morning, we can't miss the phrase in the third parable that almost jumps out. In his joy, he went and sold everything and bought the field. Jesus doesn't say in his greed he went. He doesn't say not in desperation, not in some kind of compulsion, but in his joy, he saw a different future than he had ever seen before. We might safely assume that these three words are important in the meaning of the parables and in the meaning of our lives as well. Hello? Why should we be surprised when joy is a part of the equation in a world that was made by a loving creator who built beauty and consequences into the world in which we live? But when things don't always work out the way we want, sometimes it's hard to see or trust that there is joy anywhere in the mix. Recently, I visited a man whose name I'm changing. I'm going to call him Job. You understand why. He's probably late 50s, early 60s. This man had been through multiple surgeries. He had been diagnosed with more than one kind of cancer. He had had radiation, he had had chemotherapy, he had had surgery after surgery. And in the process of his illness and his trying to recover, trying to combat this terrible disease, he had lost most of his friends. He had been alienated from his family. He had lost his job. He had lost his home. He no longer was married to his wife. He had very little going for him, we would say. But the day that I visited him, he had just gotten a report from the doctor that said that he was cancer-free. The joy that overwhelmed him reduced him to tears, to sobbing beyond any recognizable language. So he had lost it all and found a gift of the future. He said, all my friends that used to come and sit and watch football with me and drink beer with me no longer were with me when I got sick. my family scattered, but now I have hope. He was obviously not a religious person. I think he had worked hard to stay, to not get too close to churches or anything about that. But now he understood that there was a gift that had been given to him from far beyond himself. And in gratitude, he claimed a joy that he dared to trust. Every step of the way for him were points of light and then dark nights. So what do you pray in that situation when you don't know what to pray or even that you dare pray? We need to know that God intercedes for us even when we are not in a position to be able to pray or not smart enough or not wise enough to pray. So today, that hello challenge is about practicing the art of looking and listening and discovering those places where joy is ready to sneak up on us. Blessed are we when we are surprised by life and God's involvement in it, and when we are sustained by prayer. To be open to the surprise of God's joy. Let's face it, there are times in life when we're just kind of slogging along through and there's nothing new under the sun, when it seems life has narrowed down, same old, same old. But there are two things to remember when we get to that point. One is, first thing is that God never created this world to be like that, and that there are joys and hints all around you about something much bigger and much better. And the second one is that you have to look for those. And if you trip over something in the middle of a field, look around to see what might have been hidden there just for you. One writer said that Jesus likes this, likes a bargain. He likes to find the treasure in the middle of the dusty rummage sale. One description was a person who bought a painting, dusted it off, found out that it was worth about $1.5 million. And then the other is the story of a pastor in Hales Corner, Wisconsin, who stumbled across an old Corvette, bought it from the student who was using it to run around town, and he began to recondition it and fix it up. And when he did a little research on the internet, he found out that this was the 1962 Gulf Oil Corvette, a car that had won first place 12 times in Daytona and Sebring and beyond. When Ernst found the car, he paid $3,000 for it and later sold it at auction for $1.485 million. So my point is, don't go shopping for a Corvette today. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but that's not the point. Go out today shopping for God's surprising bargains that are tucked away all around us. Shop around places where you find people who are celebrating and people who are struggling. Our Lord loves the steal of a deal and the joy that comes in discovering something of great value in the midst of great despair. I say that mostly because our Lord is offering the most incredible item ever to be found, and that is himself, free of charge, in the reign of Christ, a present, powerful force for good in our lives. May this be a place, this church, be a place where the treasure of a Christ is easily encountered. May the treasure of Christ be accessible for the world, and in and through you and me, available to the world. May we be found harboring that interceding spirit of Christ in our lives and in our life together as a congregation. May you, whether you're a wanderer, seeker, or long-time active member of this congregation, help us to pay attention to the treasure we have and the one we have yet to find. It's not always found in the expected places. No matter what the price tag, it is worth the investment. Undeniably worth the cost. It will surprise you. It will bring great joy when you find God at work behind the scenes in your life and in the life of those around you. Hello, and amen.